It was while I was in Bible school that I first met Tim Allen. I had heard about him, a young man from Colorado. After a life-threatening accident in which he was not saved, and a brother who was saved, and a camp meeting, not unlike Skyland in some ways, Tim came to the Lord. When I met him, Tim was always rough. He grew up on the back of a wild horse in Colorado. And when he got saved, he had a boldness that was unique. One occasion, during spring break, we were down visiting in Mississippi. He rode with me with some other of the students. And he got me to drop him off in Memphis for a few days because he gave out about 40,000 tracts a year, personally, himself. He said, I want to do a little tract distribution. I picked him back up in a couple of days. I said, how'd it go? He said, well, pretty good. He said, I did have a little engagement with a motorcycle gang. I said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah, I was in this area and I was handing out tracts on both sides of the street, just working my way down through a little village. And there was a motorcycle gang, five or six motorcycles. They were sitting on their bikes, drinking beer, and just having a party. And he said, I could see them, and they could see me, and I was getting closer to them all the time. And he said, but I know how to handle that. He said, you pick the biggest, meanest, ugliest one in the bunch. He'll probably be the top dog. You don't deal with anybody else. You go immediately to him. So he said, when I got there, I was handing out this gospel ticket that says, free ticket, how to get to heaven. And so he said, I stepped over and around a couple of guys, got to the big guy, and I said, sir, I have a ticket here of how you can get to heaven. He said, he roared back to me, I don't want to go to heaven. He said, sir, if you would turn that ticket over, the other side will tell you how to go to hell. He said, he slapped me on the back so hard I pretty near fell down. He said, I like you, boy. Give everybody one. That was Tim Allen. Tim got cancer. Wife and four kids. It was bad. Not long before his passing, I was going to Florida for some meetings, and he said, I want to go with you. And I said, Tim, you can't go to Florida with me. You wouldn't have any insurance. You'd be out of the country. You're sick. He said, the Lord wants me to go to Florida. I said, well, who am I to stand in the way of the Lord? Of course, we're going to Florida. So we flew down. He wasn't there very long. He'd already had all the chemo treatments and the consequences of that. He was so sick. He wasn't there very long that he had to come home. I believe, if my memory serves me correct, we had to get permission from two doctors in the Toronto area and permission from Canadian Air Canada Airlines to even get him on the plane. He was so sick. Nobody wanted to get him on the plane, thinking he might die on the plane. So I'm with him in the airport, and he's in pain. Like, Tim is not a sissy. I say that carefully. He just wasn't. But he couldn't take the pain. He's laying down on the floor at the gate area in pain. He said, I got to go to the washroom. I said, okay. So I went with him to the washroom and made sure he was okay. And I just stepped to the other side of the washroom, and before he came out of the washroom, he put a track in every stall and at every sink and on the mirror and by the hair hand dryer, and in pain. You know, he said to me, he said, I'd rather burn out than rust out. You know that, don't you? I said, I know that. It was later that year that he burned out. A week before that, he said, it doesn't look like the Lord's going to raise me up. He said, I want you to take my funeral. I said, Tim, I'm too close, man. I can't do it. I said, I can't do it. He said, don't give me that. He said, God gave me the grace to bury my mother, bury my brother. He said, he'll give you the grace to bury me. I don't want nobody else to do it. He said, you're going to bury me. And I did, by the grace of God. You see, Tim wasn't a person who would give up. He just did what he could, as long as he could. And then the Lord took him home. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. There's going to come a time in your life, if it hasn't already come, there may be multiple times in your life, as we shared with you yesterday, that you just want to give up. Just give up. Just, I can't go on. Where do you get your strength at that time? Well, let's go back and read our text again, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I'm not planning on it, speaking on grace all week. I'm not planning on that, but I'm okay with that if that's what the Lord wants us to do. I don't know how I'd do that, but I'm okay with that. But I do believe he wants us to go back and say a little bit more about grace before we go on. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. One thing I found very interesting about this verse is that the phrase, be strong, is in what we call the present passive voice. You say, what's that? It means the subject is being acted on. The subject is not acting. And it's continual. It could be translated like this. Keep on being strengthened by grace. Oh. See, thus I give you the impression that be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You come up, well, I must be strong. I must endure. I must carry on. I've got to. You can't do that. But you can allow yourself to be strengthened by grace. Do you get it? It's like James saying, let patience have its perfect work. Let it work on you. It's like be transformed. That's passive. Allow yourself to be transformed. I can't transform myself. I can't strengthen myself. I can't get up enough courage, enough strength just to keep on myself. But I can allow the grace of God to work in my life. Think with me for a minute. Did God ever fail? I mean, in your life experience. You say, well, boy, one time I thought he was going to fail, but he came through at the last minute like it was unbelievable, you know, like. then allow yourself to be strengthened by your past so that you can continue on in the present. A young believer lady came to me, called me actually on the phone. She said, I'm afraid to die. I said, are you sick? No. I said, have you been to the doctor? Did you get any bad news? No. But I'm just afraid to die. She said, what can I do? I said, trust the Lord. I mean, what am I going to tell her? She said, I think when it comes time to do it, I'm not going to be able. Die. You know what I've seen in my few short years of experience? You don't get grace to die till you die. You get it when you need it, folks. Christians go and buy all kind of books about how to cope and how to cope and how to get through it. And when everything's going okay, how can I make it when everything's going okay? You know, I mean, like, we are stressful people. Let God be God. Trust Him every day. His grace is sufficient. He will never fail. He never lets you down. He never forsakes you. Listen, the most comforting words you will ever hear this side of heaven. You ready for this? This is it. I'm with you, says the Lord. Can't get any better than that. Oh, we're going to be with Him for all of eternity, but down here, I am with you, says the Lord. I'll tell you how close He is. We heard it this morning. He lives in our heart in the power of His Spirit. So you'll either go on or what? What's the option? If you don't go on, what happens? You say, well, I'm just floating. No, you don't float. You either go on or you go back. I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to hang on till the Lord comes. I'm just going to hold the fort, really. I'm just going to take the shield of faith and soak up the darts. I'm just hanging on. That is not what the Lord Jesus told us to do. He said, go. I had the privilege of being engaged in evangelistic outreaches quite often. I like that. I believe the Lord's enabled me to some degree in that area. But I am always amazed at how our gospel meetings go. We're going to preach the gospel over here, and we're going to do that for 5 nights or 10 nights or 3 nights or 1 night or whatever it is. And if you want to get saved, you come over here and you can get saved. We're going to preach the gospel right here. That's not the Great Commission. Jesus said, go. We say, come. That's amazing. Now, obviously, I'm not against that, or I wouldn't be doing that. That is one way to do that. Let's not say that doesn't count. Of course that counts. But if that is your only outreach, you haven't reached out yet. You need to get in a community. You go on. You keep going. It was 13 years after I got saved that I came to the point in my life that I realized this thing's a lot bigger than I ever anticipated. And I'm going on by the grace of God. Have you reached that point in your life? I mean, if you've been saved very long at all, you know this is not some club I joined. This is not the country club. This is not the church club. This is not some party. That world out there is not a playground. It's a war. It's a battlefield. It's hostile territory. And we're going to need help. So Paul says to Timothy, would you just listen to me, son? Listen to me. Let the grace of God strengthen you. Specifically, let the grace that is in Christ Jesus, because grace came by Him. He is grace. He is the gift of God. strengthen you. Do you know you can see grace? You can see it. Oh yeah, you can see it. Turn with me just for a minute to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. While you're turning there, let me tell you that there was great persecution in Jerusalem over the stoning of Stephen. And the Christians scattered. Some went out in the Mediterranean. Some went way up 200 miles north to a place called Antioch in Syria. Great metropolitan city up there. But now, no apostles went with them. No evangelists went with them. No leaders as such are named among them. Just scared sheep. They had to get out. They were scattered because of the persecution. Notice in verse 20 of Acts 11. But some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the, I think it's the only time it's mentioned, it's kind of interesting, ears of the church in Jerusalem, those that were left. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he saw it. He saw it. He was glad and encouraged them all that with one purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Just go on. You start with grace, you continue with grace, you end with grace. The whole thing's about grace. If you want to see grace, just pause for a moment, look to your left, look to your right, look in front of you, look behind you, look right here. You can see grace. You can see the mercy and love and kindness and grace of God in individuals' lives. It can be seen. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, let me also remind you that circumstances of life do not cancel grace. We haven't been here very long. We've already heard of some circumstances of life that are not very desirable. Hard times, people going through hard times, some desperate. You see, grace strengthens you to go on. You go on through the good times and the bad times. You go on through death. Some of you have experienced a family member, a loved one this year. Through heartache, disappointment. But you're going on. Some of you have lost children, either physically or spiritually, or the relationship is shattered. Financially, through failures, frustrations, you name it. But the grace of God helps you to go on. Be strengthened by the available kindness and mercy and grace of God. Be strengthened by that. He's not going to fail. He didn't fail yesterday. He is not going to fail today. Keep on allowing yourself to be strengthened by grace. There was a bit of a, maybe it was a misunderstanding. Maybe I just didn't say it very good. But it was brought to my attention that we have to do something. It's like a student going to take a final exam and saying, I'm not going to study. I'm just going to depend on the grace of God. Well, now that would that be foolish? I think that might be a little bit foolish. I think if you studied what time you had and you didn't have enough time to study and you realized that this thing's going pretty bad for me and the blessing and grace of God kicked in, that would be different. But we do not continue in sin that grace may abound. We don't worship grace. We worship the Lord Jesus. We don't not try to do anything knowing that underneath are the everlasting arms. No, it doesn't work like that. I'll tell you what else grace may be. You may be thinking grace is just blessing and the illness went away and I got the job and the relationship got patched up and that was grace. I'll tell you what else grace might be. Failure. God knows best. He knows what I need. Death, separation, judgment. He chastens and scourges every son that he loves. You cannot sit back and say, I don't care, I don't have to do anything. God said he's going to be gracious. He'd be gracious and give you early retirement. Be careful about that. Just take you home. God knows. He will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he reaps. And so let us not sit back and think grace is the end of the whole thing. That is not God's way. And yet we can't earn it. You can't say, well, I'm really going to try and I'm hoping and I'm working as hard as I can and I'm doing all that I can and I hope God will just give me some grace. That wouldn't be grace, would it? Grace is unmerited favor. But I tell you, when you run out and when there's nothing left and when you're on your face on the ground and you say, I have failed, I have lost, the whole thing is gone, there's no way. His grace is sufficient. He will see you through. Now, let me suggest that in these seven verses that we're hopefully trying to work through this week, that if we can establish, if you wanted to just write something under point one, the source of strength, my source of strength as I go on, you can just put grace in there. Grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that comes from Christ, the mercy of God that comes through Jesus Christ. And you can put, just be strengthened by grace. Let grace strengthen you. And then you'll notice in verse 2, let me read that verse for you, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I believe Paul sets the stage for what he is about to encourage Timothy to do. Without understanding verse 1, you're done through the rest of it. You can't commit to men. You can't endure hardness. You can't be a good soldier. You can't be a good athlete. You can't be a good farmer. You can't do all of these. You can't do that unless you are continually strengthened by grace. Why? Because at best we're unfaithful servants. Nobody knows that any better than me. I should be dead or in prison. I should not be here. And after you'd say, well, after almost 47 years of being saved, certainly I must realize how sinful I am. Yes, is that what you were going to say? Yes. That's what I realize. How far short I fall. I realize that more every day. And I don't just realize that so I can say, thank you for grace, Lord, so I know it. I feel like what Peter said, Lord, get away from me, I'm a sinful man. But here's the instruction, and I've suggested on your little outline, there is a strategy for going on. It's not just, okay, just do it, just like, okay, I don't know what you're going to do or how you're going to do it, but just like keep going the best you can. There's a strategy. And at least in 2 Timothy, in Paul's letter to Timothy, he's got a plan. He's passing it on. He's giving him instructions. And those instructions say, listen, you pass it on, Timothy. I mean, the scriptures would tell us of the hours and miles that Timothy and Paul spent together. You know what I'm always amazed? At the end of Paul's life, you know what he says? Only got one like-minded. Just one. You say, well, it must be the Philippian jailer for sure. I mean, he was kind of that rough kind of a guy that got saved and then that little assembly established in Philippi. And no, it's Timothy. Timothy? He didn't have the kind of life that Paul did. How would Timothy ever know all this stuff? That doesn't matter. He was the only one. I mean, a true yoke fellow. They labored together. They suffered together. He said, I got one that's like mine. I got one who knows what we're talking about. I got one, and I'm telling him, son, if you're not strengthened by grace, this is not going to happen. I'll tell you tonight, wherever you find yourself, whatever situation of life you find yourself in, there is one underlying thought that's going to carry you through. Remember that little story, I guess it is. It was quite popular a few years ago about footprints in the sand. Remember that? Wasn't that kind of neat? There were two sets of footprints, and he's walking with the Lord, and then things really went south. And when things really went bad, he said, I only saw one set of footprints. Lord, why would you leave me when the going got really tough? He said, oh, I didn't leave you. That's when I carried you. That's when I carried you. That's when you were too weak to walk. That's when you were so stressed that you couldn't even believe. I carried you. That's the way any of this is going to get done. So commit to faithful men. First thing I want to say about Paul is this, and about us, there are no lone rangers in the family of God. You got that? We are not independent. We are interdependent. You got that? Over the years, I've had men say to me, well, brother, you don't know this assembly, and I'm telling you, and what are you doing? Well, I'm just in a cabin by myself now. And where is that in the scriptures? That's a victory for the enemy. Separate and divide and conquer. Paul always had men with him, always. I mean, right at the Damascus Road experience, you know, he shows up in Damascus and his old cronies said, man, where have you been? You're 3 days late. I got all the Christians rounded up over here. Come on, let's get them. He said, I changed teams on the way. Like, I'm kind of like one of them now. I didn't go well. And so he escaped over the wall in a basket. Do you ever wonder who's holding the ropes? He's always got men with him, I'm going to tell you this. From that point on, you read about the life of Paul. And you know what? Well, I got Aristarchus, and I got Epaphroditus, and I've got Titus, and I've got even Demas is mentioned, and I've got this one, and I've got that. And he's always got men. And Luke was there, and Timothy was there. And hey, get some good guys around you, some good girls around you. Missions are finally figuring this out And thank God it's about time. They don't send one missionary to the backside of nowhere and expect them to do it all. Can't do it. Not even one couple. Send a team. Send a team. Multiple gifts. Multiple encouragements. Paul was not a loner. He said to Timothy, don't go it alone. Find yourself some faithful men and women. Would you qualify tonight? Would I qualify tonight? Who's a faithful person? Oh, somebody can be trusted. Can you be trusted? You know, I'm kind of old school, I guess. Probably every generation thinks they're old school. I don't know how that goes. Every generation thinks the young people are wacky, you know. I think we used to be wacky. My father taught me, I didn't have a Christian home. He said, son, if you tell somebody you're going to do something, he said, you do that now. I said, yes, sir. I was learning to be faithful before I was a Christian. My unsaved father taught me that. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, son, you do that now. Yes, sir. That's what we do. We can be trusted. Yes, sir. Can you be trusted? Over the years, I'm not really a discipler. I like that. I like the thought of that. And I've tried. Oh, I have tried. It's hard to get people that want to be discipled. I mean, if you pick them up and take them to the coffee shop and have a coffee and a donut or buy them lunch and read a couple of verses, they do that every day. They like that. If you say, now there's six verses here, and when we get together next time, whenever that is, I'd like for you to learn those six verses. I'd like for you to just summarize those six verses. Just give me six thoughts about that. We're going to get into the Word of God. Man, yeah, I'm right into that. And so you pick them up and you say, okay, how'd you do with that? You know, I didn't have time. You didn't have time. You're not working. How come you didn't have time? You're looking for a job. Right, right. You know what I see here, and maybe I'm way off. I see Paul getting Timothy, and he's saying, listen to me. Listen to me. We don't have time to waste time on people who don't take this serious. Find some faithful men. I believe there are some. Believe there are. Not easy. Like if you say, look, I'd like to be discipled, and the guy says, okay, I'll disciple you here. Read this, do this, do that. This is part of the training. Okay. You don't say, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to go preach or be a missionary or something. Like, I just want to be in the Lord's work. I don't want to do all this. That's too hard. I don't think I'd qualify. I don't think so. If you tell somebody you're going to be there at 3 o'clock, you either, they're planning your funeral or you're there. That's the way I look at it. That's what, you're trustworthy. If you say something, you will do it. You are faithful. By the grace, listen, nobody's perfect. I understand that. But this has to be our desire. We want to do this. And we're not doing this for Joe or Fred or Steve or anybody else. We're doing this for Jesus. Timothy, find some faithful men. And then he says this, the things that you've heard, old King James says, of me among many witnesses. I like that thought. I don't think maybe that's as good a translation. Maybe things from me among many witnesses might be better. I like that. But think about this. What do people say about you? Would you want others to pattern their life after what people are saying about you? Just think of it for a minute. Timothy, the things that people are saying about me, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses there, then you take that and pass that on. That'd be the right thing to pass on. My goodness. What do people say about you? I am so glad I don't know what people say about me. I am so glad. You'd either head be so big you couldn't get out the door, or you'd be so discouraged you'd just die right here. You know, I mean, you don't want to know what people think about you, really. But I believe the point here is that the things that I have said, the things that I have taught, and it's been witnessed and verified by many other people, that's what you pass on. The apostles' doctrine, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the New Testament principles. That's what he's saying. He uses a nice word. I love that word. Commit. It's the same word Jesus used on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It means to entrust. If you worked hard and saved your money and you got a little nest egg and you're hoping to retire on that, and someone said to you, well, now you're going to need to invest that to get you through, you wouldn't just walk up to the first door you knocked on and say, I have some money here. I'd like to just deposit it with you so I could get a little interest on that. You take care of this. You'd do your homework. If you had a brain at all, you'd do your homework, right? You'd be very careful about your life saving, investing that to somebody else, giving that, depositing that into the hands of somebody else. That's just money. How about your life? Giving your life. This is how serious this is. Now, do you know what's going to happen if the Lord Jesus tarries another generation? The only way that next generation is going to get this is if we pass it on. If we entrust it. If we deposit it into the lives of young men and women and boys and girls, who in turn will pass it on? Faithful men and women. Notice the future tense, and I'll be through. Who shall be able? Don't be too hard on young believers. Or even old believers who haven't grown up very much. You say, they don't know anything. Well, what we need is more committed men. What we need is more committed women. What we need is better leaders. Make them. Quit complaining. Are you discipling anybody? Are you entrusting what God has given you from the Scriptures into the life of somebody? Are you entrusting that, depositing that into somebody's life? And don't be so critical, okay? They can't do it right now. It's just like young men who are being somehow prayed for or encouraged to come in the oversight. And they say, well, the elders go, whew, I wish they had some discernment. Think back 30, 40 years, please, would you? 50, 60 years, would you? Did you ever make any mistakes when you were back there? Did you ever do anything stupid when you were back there? Did you ever make any wrong decisions back there? How did you get where you are? By life's experience, by the grace of God, He has borne me along and given me some wisdom. Don't expect them to know everything that you know. But as you commit to faithful men and women, guess what they're going to be able to do? They shall be able to teach others also. Let's pray. Thank you for challenging us again, Lord, and help us to somehow begin to appreciate what you want us to be. How you're working in our life to make us like Jesus. That's what you want us to be. And so we know it's a long road and it's hard, and yet you strengthen us. You're with us. You encourage us. You tell us not to be dismayed. Don't be frantically rubbing our hands together as though there's no help. But just remember that you're there. And as we take the admonition of being strong in your grace, help us then to look around. Lord, there's got to be some. There are some who want to go on. Help us to encourage them to go on and not expect them to be mature Christians. A time will come when they will be able to teach others also, but probably right now they're not. So help us to be patient with them and encourage them and teach them. By the grace of God, teach us through it as well. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.